The Architecture of Happiness, written and read by Alain de Botton. What is the significance or importance of architecture? Imagine a terraced house on a tree-lined street. Earlier today, the house rang with the sound of children's cries and adult voices, but since the last occupant took off with her satchel a few hours ago, it's been left to sample the morning by itself. The sun has risen over the gables of the buildings opposite and now washes through the ground floor windows, painting the interior walls a buttery yellow and warming the grainy red brick facade. Within shafts of sunlight, platelets of dust move as if in obedience to the rhythms of a silent waltz. From the hallway, the low murmur of accelerating traffic can be detected a few blocks away. Occasionally, the letterbox opens with a rasp to admit a plaintive leaflet. The house gives signs of enjoying the emptiness. It's rearranging itself after the night, clearing its pipes and cracking its joints. A family of four shelters in it, joined by a colony of ants around the foundations and, in springtime, by broods of robins in the chimney stack. It also lends a shoulder to a frail, or just indolent, sweet pea, which leans against the garden wall, indulging the peripatetic courtship of a circle of bees. The house has grown into a knowledgeable witness. It's been party to early seductions. It's watched homework being written. It's observed swaddled babies freshly arrived from hospital. It's experienced winter evenings when its windows were cold as bags of frozen peas, and midsummer dusks when its brick walls held the warmth of newly baked bread. It's provided not only physical, but also psychological sanctuary. It's been a guardian of identity. Over the years, its owners have returned from long journeys abroad and, on looking around them, remembered who they were. The thick flagstones on the ground floor speak of serenity and aged grace. The dining table, with its waxy tablecloth printed with large buttercups, suggests a burst of playfulness. Along the stairs, small still lives of eggs and lemons draw attention to the intricacy and beauty of everyday things. On the upper floor, a narrow, empty room allows space for restorative thoughts to hatch, its skylight giving out onto impatient clouds migrating rapidly over cranes and chimney pots. Although this house may lack solutions to a great many of its occupants' ills, its rooms nevertheless give evidence of a happiness to which architecture has made its distinctive contribution. And yet, a concern for architecture has never been free from a degree of suspicion. Doubts have been raised about the subject's seriousness, its moral worth, and its cost. A thought-provoking number of the world's most intelligent people have disdained any interest in decoration and design, equating contentment with discarnate and invisible matters instead. The ancient Greek Stoic philosopher Epictetus is said to have demanded of a heartbroken friend whose house had burnt to the ground, "If you really understand what governs the universe, how can you yearn for bits of stone and pretty rock?" It's unclear how much longer this friendship lasted. The hermit Paul of Seti slept on a blanket on the floor of a windowless mud hut and recited 300 prayers every day, suffering only when he heard of another holy man who had managed 700 and slept in a coffin. Such austerity has been a historical constant. In the spring of 1137, the Cistercian monk St. Bernard of Clairvaux travelled all the way around Lake Geneva without noticing that it was even there. On a visit to the charterhouse of Dauphiné, St. Bernard astonished his hosts by arriving on a magnificent white horse diametrically opposed to the ascetic values he professed, but he explained that he had borrowed the animal from a wealthy uncle and had simply failed to register its appearance on a four-day journey across France. Nevertheless, such determined efforts to scorn visual experience have always been matched by equally persistent attempts to mould the material world to graceful ends. People have strained their backs carving flowers into their roof beams and their eyesight embroidering animals onto their tablecloths. They've given up weekends to hide unsightly cables behind ledges. They've thought carefully about appropriate kitchen work surfaces. We seem divided between an urge to override our senses and numb ourselves to our settings, and a contradictory impulse to acknowledge the extent to which our identities are indelibly connected to and will shift along with our locations. Belief in the significance of architecture is premised on the notion that we are, for better or for worse, different people in different places, and on the conviction that it's architecture's task to render vivid to us who we might ideally be.